The New Hampshire Now program is proudly presented by Carter Hill Orchard. Pick your own apples at Carter Hill Orchard. This is New Hampshire Now on Guide 1450 and NHTalkRadio.com. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the program. This hour of New Hampshire Now is presented by New England College as well as Fox Ace Hardware. And this segment of the show brought to you by Rath Young and Pignatelli, a national impact that's unique in New Hampshire. More information, check out rathlaw.com. Rath Young and Pignatelli, proud sponsor of political interviews here on the New Hampshire Now program. Another program right now by United States Senator Gene Shaheen as we do our Pints in Politics race for the United States Senate here this hour of the New Hampshire Now program. Corky Messner, her Republican challenger, will join us up next. But first, we welcome Senator Shaheen to the program. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks, Chris.
Appreciate you joining us for the show. We'll start off with just an overview of your rationale for a third term in the United States Senate. Obviously, there's been a lot of distrust with the institution of Congress. People have been upset with that institution. Why are you a part of the solution and not part of the problem?
Well, I've been working hard to make a difference in the lives of the people of New Hampshire, and whether it's getting a Job Corps, finally, we were one of the last states in the country to get a Job Corps, and it wouldn't have happened without my advocacy to making sure that the Burlam Prison was open, to getting help for the city of Concord to do their redo their main street, protecting jobs at the shipyard, helping our small businesses. We've got to have somebody in Washington who understands the needs of New Hampshire and is going to work to make sure that we do everything possible, working with whoever is necessary in order to get things done for the state. That's what I've tried to do in my time in public office, and that's what I want to continue to do. And we have a lot of We have an unfinished agenda. We still have the Trump administration trying to overturn the Affordable Care Act in ways that would have significant consequences for people in New Hampshire. We need investment in infrastructure, and we haven't had an administration that was willing to do that. We need to address student loans. New Hampshire has a significant challenge with student loans. Again, there's not been a bipartisan commitment to do that. So we have a lot of work to do.
As we speak, there has not been a coronavirus relief bill which has been passed and signed. As Speaker Pelosi and Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin continue to negotiate, on Wednesday, Senate Democrats blocked a $500 billion GOP coronavirus relief bill. Why has there not been able to be an agreement here? And do you regret at all that you have not signed on to and supported one of the previous agreements if, in fact, nothing does come to fruition and Granite Staters are left without support for the time being?
Well, there's no doubt that people are hurting and they need support. But what Mitch McConnell has offered has been woefully inadequate. It included no money to help hospitals. We saw this week the Lakes Region Hospital went bankrupt. We know that there are other hospitals that are in financial distress in New Hampshire. There was the money to help schools, and schools need to reopen safely, but the money was directed primarily at those schools that actually have students in class. Well, we have a lot of kids who are going remotely, and the money was not going to help them. There was no money for cities and towns in the package that Mitch McConnell proposed. We heard Jerome Powell, the head of the Federal Reserve, warn that we needed as expansive a package as possible in order to keep the economy moving and to help those people who needed it. And what we've seen in the last week are headlines that point out that it was Mitch McConnell who warned the White House against getting a COVID relief deal. First, President Trump walked away. Then he came back and said no, he wanted a deal. He wants a more expansive deal than what Mitch McConnell put on the floor. And now McConnell's saying to him, stop negotiating, don't make a deal before the election. And yet they could turn somersaults in order to get their nominee to the Supreme Court approved. So I think what we need is for people to be serious, to come to the table and get a compromise package that's going to help the people who need help.
But what if that doesn't happen? And what if we end up in an environment where you've left on the table the GOP bill, which included more payroll protection funds, a $300 per week supplemental unemployment insurance benefit, and also protections for businesses.
The GOP bill that was on the table did not include additional money for the Paycheck Protection Program, unfortunately. It made some changes, but it did not include additional money.
According
it didn't include additional money for EIDL loans.
According to a CNBC report, it did, but I'll take your word on that. But is there a concern, though, that you leave this on the table and the individuals suffer as a result of it, and you could do the things you're talking about down the road?
No, because what we've seen, unfortunately, from our Republican colleagues is that they're not willing to do those things down the road. And that's been the challenge. It's been the reason why, and Mitch McConnell had a package on his desk before Memorial Day. He waited until the end of July to put something on the table that was totally partisan. There was no bipartisan input at all into what he's put on the table. And that's why it doesn't help state and local governments, doesn't help hospitals, doesn't have enough money for testing and contact tracing. A whole range of things that need to be done. And because of the intransigence of Mitch McConnell and the majority in the Senate, nothing has happened.
In regards to COVID-19 and the state of New Hampshire, there is both a perception and I think a reality that things are getting worse here and that we're heading in the wrong direction, as many Granite Staters are making plans to not have the traditional Thanksgiving meal, wondering what Christmas is going to be like, seeing more kids such as my own going from being in school to remote learning. Do you feel that we are heading in the wrong direction on this? And why has there not been, strategic plans in which there have been 7 months to prepare for this type of a situation?
I think people are very anxious and for good reason, because we're seeing additional cases in New Hampshire and around the country. Fortunately, our rate of positivity for the coronavirus is not going up, which is very helpful, but we are seeing additional cases as there's more testing done. And in order to get life back to normal, we've got to get ahead of this pandemic. And sadly, we have seen from day one that the Trump administration has not had a plan to do that. They have continued to underestimate how difficult the pandemic is, the threat that it faces. We still see President Trump ignoring, saying, well, we've turned the corner, it's going away. It's not going away. We're seeing more cases now than we were seeing in the summer. And as we know, the death toll is over 220,000 now in the country. And in New Hampshire, it's the number that I saw yesterday was 468. Very tragic. And what we need is a plan at the federal level that provides consistent guidance to states. It's really unfortunate that such simple things like mask wearing have gotten so political. This should not be a political issue. The CDC, and I was in the hearing a couple of weeks ago when Dr. Redfield, the head of the CDC, held up his mask and he said, this mask is better protection for many people than a vaccine. Mm-hmm. Mask wearing, social distancing, hand washing, making sure that cleanliness, all of the things that the CDC says we should be doing. We shouldn't be having fights about that. We should be able to agree that that makes sense. And it's step number one in how to get ahead of this pandemic. Then we need more testing and contact tracing. That's why it's disappointing that Senator McConnell didn't include more funding for that in his package, because we've seen the benefits of that. UNH is a great example with all of the testing they're doing. They have students going to class. They're back on campus. They can isolate hotspots, and everybody else can go about their normal activities. We need to be able to do that throughout the country. And then we need to fully invoke the Defense Production Act so we can be producing in the United States the materials we need for those tests, for the cleaning supplies, for the PPE, the personal protective equipment that we need. So I'm a big difference of opinion between me and my opponent. I don't think this president has done a good job on this.
As you know, 38% of Granite State voters are undeclared and generally like to ticket split. And they like Republicans and Democrats to work together and to create positive impacts on their lives via legislation. There's a strong potential for Democrats to control the White House, the Senate, and the House. And with that comes some trepidation for independent voters because of the potential for Medicare for All or for a Green New Deal and for the potential of additional justices being added to the Supreme Court. And certainly independent voters want to see lower health care costs. I think that you look at the Affordable Care Act and a public option that polls well with independents. And also, you know, you look at measures that make sense in regards to, you know, green production of energy and a more green economy. Those poll well as well. What can you tell voters about your support for a Medicare for All, for a Green New Deal, and for court expansion, and where you stand on those three things?
Those are efforts by my Republican opponent and the Republicans to scare voters about what's happening in Washington. The fact is I don't support the Green New Deal. It's not even the law. It's just a resolution. There are things in it that I think are important in terms of promoting alternative energies, and I think New Hampshire is well on the way to working on many of those things. There issues that I've worked on since I was governor, trying to promote energy efficiency, investments in solar and offshore wind, which the state is exploring right now, in biofuels and biomass, which offer alternatives and are important to our timber industry. So we need to address climate change. There is no doubt it is a threat to New Hampshire, to the country, and to the globe. And there are ways to do it that we know make sense, and we should be pursuing those. On Medicare for All, I think there are faster ways to get people covered and to address the cost of health care than Medicare for All. It doesn't make sense to totally turn our system upside down and at a time when we're in the middle of a pandemic. I supported the public option when we passed the Affordable Care Act. Mm-hmm. I think we could do that. We could let people buy into Medicare or Medicaid at a younger age. So there are lots of ways to expand coverage that are very important for people.
So in a hypothetical, let's say Medicare for All passes the House, a Green New Deal passes the House, it comes to the Senate. Would you vote for either one of those, yes or no?
No, I've already said I don't support those.
Okay.
Just as I've said I don't support court packing, Chris.
I was just, and again, just for clarity.
These are efforts to try and scare voters.
And
let's stay focused on the issues that people are concerned about for their daily lives.
Well, these are issues that people are concerned about. And as I've said before, I don't believe that you or Senator Hassan would support a Medicare for All, and that it's not a real issue. But I just wanted to, and for clarity, to make sure that voters heard that directly from you as opposed to myself on this issue.
Great,
and final thing is that I wanted to touch upon the post-COVID-19 economy. And to me, this is one of the most important issues that is not being discussed, in that in whether it's Joe Biden or President Trump, the first 100 days in January and February and into March are going to be incredibly significant for the next 10 or 20 years in regards to our economy. What are some of the most important aspects of investment that need to take place, and how do we transition from the pre-COVID economy to the post-COVID economy, in your view?
Well, you're right. Getting through the rest of this pandemic and having a plan for what we need to do to fully employ people, to help those businesses that have been hurting, those industries like aviation that have taken such a hit, is going to be critical. I think one of the things we need to do is, I would hope we would see a major infrastructure package that would not just invest in traditional infrastructure, roads and bridges and water systems, but also in high-speed internet. One of the things I think we've learned through this pandemic is that access to the internet brings with it opportunities. And if we have businesses in northern New Hampshire that don't have broadband, if we have kids who can't do the remote learning with their school because they don't have access to the internet, that's going to affect the opportunities that they have. So I think that's going to be a very important piece of what we do. We also need to tackle student loans because if it would be a huge shot into the economy if students, instead of having to pay off their loans at 8 or 10% interest, only have to pay them off at 2 to 3% interest, and they're able to invest in those dollars that they save and buying homes and taking the jobs that they want. And we need to look at how we help small businesses and encourage innovation that is going to be so much about driving the economy in the post-coronavirus era. So I think we've got a lot to do. I subscribe to Jerome Powell's theory, as I said, that we need to make a big investment in our economy, that pays dividends. And it's, as we saw after the financial meltdown, that the investment in the recovery program created jobs. It helped us with our backlog of infrastructure and got projects done that were really important to beginning to get the economy moving again.
Well, it's a very busy day in D.C., and we appreciate you taking some time to join us. Best of luck in the election and throughout the course of the campaign. Look forward to talking again soon.
Okay. Thanks, Chris.
All right, that is U.S. Senator Jeanne Shaheen joining us for a remote edition of Pints and Politics here on the New Hampshire Now program. This hour of the show is presented by New England College, as well as Riverbend Community Mental Health and Fox Ace Hardware, and that segment of the show presented by Rath Young and Pignatelli. When we return, we'll hear from Senator Shaheen's GOP Republican opponent, whom she did not name but referenced during the course of that interview, Corky Messner, an attorney, joins us up next on the program, the GOP nominee for the United States Senate. The New Hampshire Now program is proudly presented by Carter Hill Orchard. Pick your own apples at Carter Hill Orchard.